I do not remember Israel being discussed in rabbinical school until we actually lived there. In New York City, I love learning theology and Talmud and pastoral skills. As many of you know, homiletics and midrash were two of my favorite classes. And yet we didn't touch the subject of Israel until we landed in Tel Aviv, already 4 years into school. And you've heard me speak from the Bima about my Israel experience. Living in Israel literally changed my life in the most profound and positive of ways. I learned about the politics and the region, the geography, the people, how I fit and how I don't. And most of all, I learned how Israel formatively changed my Jewish character and identity. But what I'm realizing is that once that year was over, it was rare for Israel to re-enter the rabbinical school classroom. I don't remember discussing how Israel would affect my rabbinate. I don't remember speaking about the right ways to bring Israel into education, into the classroom. I don't remember speaking about how Israel touched our Jewish souls. I remember Israel talk being left in Israel. And my rabbinical school education continued without me questioning why until now. You see, a few weeks ago, Daniel Gordis, senior vice president of the Shalem Center in Jerusalem, came out with an article. I'm sure many of you had a chance to read it. The article addressed the state of rabbinical school students in America and their relationship to the state of Israel. Rabbi Gordis is incredibly concerned that rabbinical school students are losing their voice when it comes to supporting Eretz Yisrael. Gordis writes the following anecdote in his article. Not long ago, a student at one of America's recognized rabbinical schools sent a note to the school's email listserv saying that it was time to buy a new tallit, seeking advice about where to buy it and how to get it. The student noted that there be only one stipulation involved when purchasing this tallit, that tallit could not be made in the land of Israel. After that email went out, a rather energetic discussion ensued. As the conversation became increasingly heated, the students were told that email conversations about Israel were now off limits. You can discuss politics, you can discuss the economy, you can discuss theology, but when it comes to speaking about Israel, we put that off to the side. Gordis further explained that a few students discreetly meet with their deans and profess their embarrassment over admitting their love for Israel in public. These students are afraid that their fellow students will treat them like pariahs. Gordis asks, how do we let these students, the students who act embarrassed, the students who have a love for Israel, how do we let them know that we support them? How do we let them know that we hold these students in the highest of regard for their commitment, their tenacity, and their nuanced and brave positions? Like many of you, as I can see by the reactions on your faces, after I read this article, I thought to myself, can this really be true? Do the majority of rabbinical school students and rabbis feel embarrassed or nervous about speaking about Israel? Are they embarrassed about speaking about Israel in public and why Israel matters to them personally and communally? And before I had the chance to do much more reflection, a fellow colleague at a local synagogue here in Los Angeles wrote a response to Rabbi Gordis. The title of my colleague's article is why young U.S. rabbis lean to the left on Israel. And I promise I do not plan on addressing this colleague's politics or mine or yours. But you see, what bothered me about my local colleague's response was the following. He explained that young rabbis today are peacemakers, and that the only way to create peace in the Middle East is through a critical lens. Never in my life have I claimed that Israel is perfect. Never in my life will I claim that Israel gets it right 100% of the time. That would be a fabrication. And yet, not once in that article did my colleague say that a road to peace should include an open public forum in which to discuss Israel's positive contributions to this world. Not once in that article did my colleague say that a road to peace should include a recognition of Israel as a beacon of hope and light in an otherwise dark and chaotic region of the world. Not once in that article did my colleague say that there are young rabbis in this country who call Israel home. And God forbid, if we needed to leave America tomorrow, each one of us would have a homeland to call our own. My colleague explains that young rabbis today are not abandoning Israel. And yet when I read an article which includes a vast generalization about what young rabbis think today, and that article forgets to include how and why young rabbis need to support Israel in a positive way, then my colleague is giving an implication that young rabbis of my generation are abandoning Israel. It gives the impression that sitting within the hearts of young rabbis lies critique without love, judgment without support, and anger without understanding. When one rabbi decides to speak for all young rabbis, for my peers, then young rabbis leading congregations all over the world become strangled and silenced. My peers will begin to feel as if they will be attacked if they say out loud why Israel matters to them. My colleagues will begin to feel shunned by other colleagues by creating Israel advocacy days and attending AIPAC conferences. My friends, the other young rabbis in this world, will feel shut out and shut down before they even get a chance to speak. But not me. Not now. I will not hold back my voice because I am a young rabbi. And in the famous words of Hillel, if not now, then when? I have the fortunate opportunity of being both a rabbi here at Sinai Temple and, as you know, the director of our Sinai Temple Israel Center, which means I have been given the chance to use my voice and to speak out. I will not hide. I refuse to be embarrassed or cower in a corner. And I hope that my using this pulpit this morning to speak about why Israel matters to me will give other young rabbis and rabbinical school students the confidence and courage to come out of their corners and address both their sacred and tumultuous relationships with the land of Israel. I love Israel because every time I visit, I'm reconnected to my grandparents. My grandparents were highly involved in the Anti-Defamation League, and they fought for basic human rights for every individual, regardless of race, of gender, of creed. And they took me to Israel for the first time at age 12. And they told me on that trip that they wanted me to know that thousands and thousands of miles away from California, there was a Jewish home that would accept me if I ever needed a place to go. I love Israel because in the midst of the most unstable region in the world, There lies the smallest sliver of land that stands for peace and justice, intellectual freedom, gender equality, and democracy. Am I angered about the troubles regarding conversion in Israel? Yes. Am I angered that Masorti rabbis still have to struggle to find their place in society? Yes. Am I frustrated over the battles between Haredi and secular Jews? Yes. But I love Israel because you can voice your opinion to Knesset leaders without fear, without wondering if your family will be tortured or kidnapped for expressing a different opinion or sentiment or view. And we certainly know that if you choose to do that in other countries in that region, that's exactly what would happen. I love Israel because every citizen has a right to be a part of their young, evolving legal process. In Israel, you are part of the narrative. I love Israel because she is the first to help any nation in need. Who immediately flew to Haiti after the horrendous earthquake and immediately set up medical camps to help those in need? Israel. Who ran to Japan's aid moments after the earthquake and the tsunami? Israel. Who aids America in our quest for stronger security and a fortified presence in the Middle East? Israel. I love Israel because she is a loyal friend to nations in trouble, and she is a steadfast partner of these United States of America. I love Israel because after traveling with 10 of our David and Angela Nazarian Youth Fellows, I saw 10 Jewish teenage souls come to life. 10 students who now look up to the names like Theodore Herzl, Hannah Senish, Yoni Netanyahu, Gilad Shalit, and Michael Levin. And these teenagers say to me on a daily basis that now they are proud to say out loud that they will fight for causes bigger than themselves. I love Israel because she inspires leadership potential and a connection to the Jewish people within our Sinai Temple teenagers. I love Israel because you can hear Yiddish and Russian. You can hear Hebrew and English and a multitude of languages all in the same marketplace. You might see a soldier coming home from an army base. You might see an artist on a way to her show in Tel Aviv, a Haredi preparing for Shabbat, or a yeshiva student studying for their next exam. I love Israel because there's a place for each of these Jews, and each one of them connects to Israel in their own way. I could go on and on. I could also elaborate my concerns and my frustrations, my struggles and my issues. I am not diminishing Israel's woes. And yet, what is the most responsible way to use this pulpit this morning? I believe, yes, that when you love someone or something or someplace, there is critique. You always want to improve or better that person or place. But without praise, without identifying the good, the special, the positive, the essence of those people or that place, what good is critique? How can criticism without love ever be a roadmap to peace? Apparently, our young rabbis today are having a hard time speaking about why and how they love the land of Israel. And so it is our responsibility, rabbis and congregations alike, to challenge ourselves to speak about Israel from the pulpit, from the pews, in our homes, in our schools, and on our streets, and give our students multiple models to follow. No more hiding. No more cowering in a corner. It is time to show that peace can be achieved through recognition, through positive accolades, through loyalty, through connection. Young rabbis have a lot to say about Israel. We just need to let them know that it is safe to share and that we want them to speak. I am eternally grateful to this congregation for letting me do just that. Am Yisrael Chai. Wherever I am, whatever synagogue, whatever age, whichever city I happen to be in, I will be proud to say out loud that the people and the land of Israel will be free forever and ever. Shabbat Shalom.